Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
We're waiting a few more minutes, and right now you're the only one.
Okay. Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon. I'm good to meet.
Okay, we'll start. Hello.
Marco. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
We'll begin in another minute. Good afternoon. Today's class is primarily about the Hebrew letters, the Zohar, and most of the time will be taken up with the Anabakoa. This is the first tool, specific tool, that we're providing to you. You can find the handouts, and there are multiple handouts for this class, on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. So you go to the Hashem.com website. In the red bar at the top, there's a link called Revealed Wisdom. When you click on that, and after it opens up, scroll down about an inch and a half to a matrix. Green and white lines. The left column of that matrix is titled Basic Classes. And go to row 3 for Basic Class 3. When that opens up, scroll down to the bottom of the page. And the first handout we will be reading from is Class 3 Instructions. We will also be using the Anabakoach verses, the second link, and the last link, Class 3 Tikkun HaNefesh with Directions. And the last link last handout we will use is Class 3 Anabakoach Prayer words. While we will not be using it in this class, I recommend that you review the Class 3 handouts titled Review of Class 2. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. Normally we would start with the Anabakoa, but that's what we're going to be discussing. So we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. Give you some time to open up these various handouts. L'shem Yehud Kudshab Reishu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urshimu Udhilu Udhilu Urshimu Layakta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe The Yehuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. The purpose of this class, let's start with a review of Class 1 and Class 2. Class 1, we were basically teaching you, and remember, never to believe a word I say, but please try what I suggest you try. The first class was presenting you an opportunity to recognize that we see the world, the physical world, in a way that is illusionary. It's not truthful. It's not a complete picture. The second class, basic class two, which we discussed last week, titled The History of the World, was explaining why the world was created, and the essence of why the world was created was to remove a concept called bread of shame, which is an emotion that I need to earn the light. I need to earn what I receive. It's an emotion. It's a feeling, and feelings change. Emotions change. And the purpose of this physical world is to earn what we receive. The purpose of this physical world is to recognize that it is an illusion and to search for Hashem within that illusion, in all of its many forms. And by searching for Hashem in that illusion, in its many forms, we are removing bread of shame. As we make a tikkun, a correction from mistakes that we made in previous lifetimes, we remove bread of shame. Class three is to teach you about the power of the Hebrew letters. I can't prove to you that the Hebrew letters have power, but you can experience their power. A basic question to ask: what was the first thing that Hashem created? And we discovered in last week's class, the first thing Hashem created was the desire to receive. But then he needed to be able to name what he had created. And that naming requires letters. I can't give you a name unless I give you letters, and unless I give you how to pronounce those letters, or how to perceive those letters if you're communicating telepathically. The Creator spoke, and the creation came into being. This speaking consists of Hebrew letters. which are metaphors for spiritual energy. Here's one way to understand Hebrew letters. The first two letters are Aleph and Bet. Aleph and Bet spells the word Av, which means father. It also represents a house of unity, because the energy of the Aleph is a metaphor for unity, and the Bet is a letter that represents the concept of a house. Now, how does Aleph and Bet become a father? That is something that you can meditate on, you can contemplate, and you can arrive at an answer to that question that is right for you, that is appropriate for you. How does a house of unity actually represent the concept of a father? The speaking that Hashem did that created things consists of the Hebrew letters. So he first needed to create the Hebrew letters. And he created not the letters, he created the power sources, the metaphysical energy that the letters became a shorthand for. The letters are a metaphor for that metaphysical energy source. God created unity. God created separation. Unity is metaphor or metaphorized by the number one. The number one includes everything, because there's nothing else but the number one. The number two metaphor is a metaphor for separation, because there are two things, not just one. You begin to get a sense of why the letters are a metaphor for the metaphysical energies that they represent. The letters are more than just the metaphors. They actually are channels for the spiritual energy. They actually not only just represent that spiritual energy, they possess that spiritual energy. Now, it's difficult to comprehend what that means or how that works. The word for house is Bet. It's also the name of the letter, Bet. The letter Bet is a metaphor for the concept of house. But what is the spiritual energy of a house? Families live in houses. Individuals live in houses. All of the different aspects of the metaphysical energy called house is possessed by the letter that is called Bet. I'm trying to get across the concept of how powerful the letters are. Ever since the Tower of Babel, all the language has been a reduction of that energy. When you speak, you're using language. And the language reduces the metaphysical energy that is expressed by the word you say. But the word words you say is in English, or the way words I'm saying is are in English. But every sound that I make in English can be recreated in Hebrew letters. And so the sounds that I make, while you and I agree what they mean in English, actually, in the universal language of the Hebrew letters, they represent something very different than what you and I have agreed the English word means. One of the tools, and this is an aside, not from the handout, but one of the tools to understand is when someone says Satan in English, maybe you and I agree that that's the devil. That's the meaning of Satan in English. But in Hebrew, that expression, Satan, represents the opposing force that gives you free will. It's a very different concept than the concept of a devil. And yet when I say Satan, obviously when I'm in a teaching mode, it's not as the same. But if I were to express myself by saying Satan, I'm actually calling that metaphysical force called opponent. And this is one of the tools that the negative system has utilized over the centuries. It motivates people to change their language, to use slang. And in that slang are being expressed many times negative concepts, negative energy associated with the Hebrew letters, and not what the various people, the various children, the various teens have decided this word means. Continuing to read. When we utilize the Hebrew letters, either in our meditations or in our speech, we are manifesting the spiritual energy that is the source of the power of that particular letter. In essence, each letter has a particular power, a particular metaphysical energy. When we see the letter, we receive the power on one level, that of sight. When we hear the letter, we receive the power on a different level, that of sound. When we say the letter, we share and manifest that power on another level, the level of manifestation. In potential, because when I speak words, they don't come into existence. If I were Hashem, what I spoke would come into existence. There would be no difference between seeing the letter, seeing the energy, hearing the energy, tasting the energy, and manifesting the energy. All of these different aspects are associated with the letters. But because I don't realize that, I don't consider that as truth, my words do not manifest the same way God spoke and it came into being. We speak, and then we have to use our hands to make it come into being. Does There are two languages that use the Hebrew letters. One is the Hebrew language from the Torah. The other is Aramaic, which the sages describe as a language that the angels do not understand. Aramaic is considered a language of the people. They spoke it in every day. They didn't speak Hebrew every day. They spoke Aramaic. But Aramaic is Hebrew letters. What this teaches us is that the Hebrew letters were created to transfer metaphysical energy into the physical world. The Hebrew language allows the transfer of both positive and negative energy, while the Aramaic only transfers positive energy. And it is considered a holier language than Hebrew. I have not seen anywhere this paragraph that I just read to you, except from my own thoughts and my own perceptions. Is it true? I can give you an explanation. Most Hebrew letters that end with a hey have two aspects. They have a positive aspect and a negative aspect. Every Hebrew word, if it ends with a hey, has both aspects. But in Aramaic, that similar word ends in an aleph, not a hey. What is the aleph? It's the unification of everything. The aleph does not transfer. The aleph only transfers unity, and unity is always positive. Can there be a unity of negativity? Yes, there can. There was. That's why Hashem had to confuse the languages at the Tower of Babel. He couldn't destroy the world again, because the people were unified. When man was created, Adam, the person, named all things using the Hebrew language and the Hebrew letters. Man was given names of God and names that were slightly less powerful, for the purpose of controlling the physical world. In other words, the ability to manifest what we call mind over matter. Hashem uses a 42-letter name to create the physical universe. And he gave this name to us. At the end of the Dark Ages, it was realized that man had fallen spiritually to a level where the power of this creation name needed to be veiled. It was too powerful for the desire to receive of the people who lived in that generation and of the generations after that. Why was it too powerful? Because people had done negative actions that veiled their desire to receive so that it could be manipulated by the negative system. So this method of veiling the energy, concealing the energy slightly or somewhat, was to add a word to each letter. The word would begin with the letter, but it would have a vessel of the other letters of that word that would conceal the energy of that letter, lower the energy of that level so that it could not be manipulated by the negative system. And this has come down to us as the Anabakoach prayer. Please learn this prayer, this sequence of words, and say it at least once per day. Sing it better than saying it. Reading it at the same time you sing it is more beneficial. This sequence of words, the sequence of letters, this 42-letter name, changes your soul. The more you say it, the more that change takes place. But where do you go to find it? You can go to YouTube, and there are more than 500 different videos playing the sound of the Anabakoach words in different music, different sequences, different songs. Listen to a few of them. Listen to all of them. Go to YouTube, search for Anabakoach, and listen till you find a song, a tune, a nigun that speaks to your soul. And then use that nigun to sing the Anabakoach. Each Sunday, Saturday morning, the Torah scroll is read in Jewish synagogues. This reading is designed to give you a protection shield to handle the metaphysical energy that comes into the world that next week, the coming week. It is imperative that one take an hour or so to listen to that Hebrew reading. Right now, with the coronavirus, we can do that online, although people say that using the computers on Saturday is using fire, and it's against the Torah prohibition. But you can read it from your own chumash if you don't want to listen to the computer. But either are available to you. Hear the Hebrew reading of the Parasha of the week each Saturday, because this is what gives you the energy, the metaphysical energy, to handle the negativity that comes into the universe. This is the tool that gives you and presents you how to maintain balance in your life during the coming week. There is a book called the Zohar. It is the most important Kabbalistic text. It is written in Aramaic, and it is recommended to scan or read every day. There is a free email that you can sign up for at dailyzohar.com. And you will get each day an email with 2, 3, 4 verses in Aramaic of the Zohar. And that is giving you that metaphysical of positive energy that you need to utilize during this coming week, during that day. It's So what are the steps? Go to the YouTube, search for Anna Bacoa, find the song, the tune that resonates with your soul. Now go to the next handout, which is the Anna Bacoa verses. And when it opens up, you'll have to rotate it. Now, I am looking at the handout. There are red letters at the top. They spell the words Anna Bacoa. In the second line is an English line. You'll see the words Anna. It's right underneath the Hebrew word Anna. Both of them are in black print. I'm going to sing the song with you, but I first have to explain what you're looking at. There are seven verses of six words each, totaling 42 words, 42 letters. The first letter of each word is that 42-letter name used in creation. To the right of the verses printed in black, you have a faded blue word, chesed, in Hebrew and then in English. Gevura, in Hebrew and then in English. These are the names of the Sephirot. On the left side, you see the first letters of the six words in that first verse. That is a seventh word. So we have seven lines of six words, totaling 42 words. But when we combine all of the six letters, the first letters of these six words, we create a seventh word. So we have 49 words in the Anna Bacoa. Now please listen as I sing this together. If you know it, please join me. I am singing it with a tune that resonates to my soul. You have to find the tune that resonates to your soul. And there are many of my students who tell me they don't like the tune I use. But it does grow on you. Anna Bacoa, Gedulat Yemincha, Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. You can see that the transliteration of the words from the Hebrew to an English so that you can pronounce it. You can see that it's the first Sephirot, Chesed. That verse is a meditation tool. What's the meditation? It connects to the phrase Ahavatinam, unconditional love. It connects to Sunday. It connects to two Hebrew months. It connects to Nisan, and it connects to Tishrei. My mistake. Connects to Nisan and Cheshvan. So if we were in the month of Nisan, or if we were in the month of Cheshvan, we would stop at the end of that verse and connect to the letters that created those months and the planet Mars. It's a meditation tool on many levels. You can use one of those levels or all of those levels. The second verse, Givurah, connects to Kislev, and Adar. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufrei Shayim Sintet Nun. What am I connecting to? What's the meditation for Givurah? What's the meditation for the second verse? The six letters spell the two Hebrew words, Kra, Satan, tear up Satan. Tiferet, Na Gibor, Dorshe Yehudcha, Kevavat Shamlin. Nun Gimel Dalet, Yud Kaf Shin. The meditation for Tiferet is Parnasa, the first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, and healing, Yud Kaf Shin, actually restoration. The months associated It's not coming to me, so excuse me. It will come shortly. The fourth verse. Barchem tacharem rachame sitkatcha tamid gamlem betet reish saritach gimel. Netzach has an essence of eternal victory, and that's the meditation for the fourth verse. The fourth verse connects to only one month, not two. The one month is the sun, the month of Av. The fifth verse, Chasin Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Na'el Adatecha Chet Kuf Bet Tet Nunayim. The fifth verse connects to the meditation of appreciation and thankfulness. This is a tool to draw closer to Hashem. When you appreciate what you receive, you're drawing closer to Hashem. Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zohre Kedushatecha Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. The sixth The sequence for Yesod is sexuality, creativity, creation. That's the meditative aspect. It connects to the month of Elul. And the month of Sivan. The seventh verse, Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Ta'alumot, Shin Kufal. The meditation for this sequence is about manifestation, making something happen. The eighth verse is said in a whisper. And what it's doing is any excess energy that is outside of your vessel, because your vessel wasn't large enough to handle that energy, it takes that energy and grounds it instead of leaving it hanging around you. That creates blockages and creates problems in your life. So always remember when you say, whether you say one verse, whether you say one letter, say in a whisper the phrase, Baruch Shem Kivod Baruch Tov. I'm going to say it out loud so it's clear. Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Leolam Waed. Now, there is one other thing as part of saying these seven verses. So that each verse connects to a day of the week. So the day of the week, you stop and connect to that verse. When you reach that verse for the day that you're on, you stop and meditate on a chart that is called the Tikkun HaNefesh. Tikkun HaNefesh translates as correction of the nefesh, correction of the soul. You'll notice on this chart, there are 17 boxes. The order of the numbers tells you which box to look at and in what sequence. So when you get to that day of the week of saying the Ana B'Koach and you stop at that verse, you now go to the chart and you look and do the chart in sequence and then go back to the finish the Ana B'Koach. Now, there's one more thing I'm going to teach you or give you, and that's the handout that is titled, I believe it's Class 3 Handouts. No, I'm my mistake. It's Class 3 Ana B'Koach Prayer in Words. It's a very short handout. What I'm going to explain to you is that the first 42 letters of the Torah has the letters of the Ana B'Koach, but they're concealed. They're concealed with various mechanisms of letter substitutions. as an example, if you look at the first Hebrew line that's on this page, you'll see Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz v'ha'aretz tohu bavohu bishkam lo. I'm not sure of the vowels. It's been a while. But that's the first 42 letters of the Torah. And if you look to the right of the second line, you see the seven verses of the Anabatoach based on the first letters. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Yud, Tav, Tzadi, Kuf, Resh, Ayin, Sin, Tet, Nun, and so forth. The question is, how does the Anabatoach letters become the 42 letters of the Torah? And then I'm explaining a few of those substitutions. For example, the Aleph of the Anabatoach becomes the Bet by substituting one letter to the right. The Bet becomes a Resh by substituting the small gematria. Both the Resh and the Bet have a small gematria of 2. The Gimel becomes an Aleph by a double right substitution. The Gimel goes to the right first, it becomes a Bet, and then the Bet becomes an Aleph. You can go through all 42 letters and determine what mechanism is being used for those letter substitutions. This substitution is definitely part of the Hebrew power of the letters. There are 10 different ways to substitute letters. There are 10 different gematria systems. All of this is built into the Hebrew letters and to the power of the letters. Please hold on 1 second. Essentially, our class is over, except I can sing the Anabatoach completely again for those of you who wish. But before I do that, I'd like to ask a question for any questions that you might have. So please unmute your phones if you have a question. I'm reminding you of a few things. This afternoon at 4:30 West Coast time, we have a Zohar class, a deep Zohar class. And at 7 p.m., we will count the Omer together, as well as study some of the writings of the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria. This coming Friday, actually Thursday night, well, it's mostly Friday morning, Friday afternoon, and Friday evening if you wish to do so. It is the holiday of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is a holiday of second chances. It's essentially the energy of being given a second opportunity to get it right, to make your tikkun, to do that mitzvah that you missed doing. The way you connect to that energy is by eating matzah once again. Does anybody have any questions? So I will sing the Ana B'Koach one more time with various meditations. Ana B'Koach Gedulat Shemincha Tatir Tzerura Aleph Bet Gimel Yotah Tzadi. The sequence has a gematria of 506, which is the same gematria as the phrase Ahavat Hinam, unconditional love. This verse connects to Sunday. Today is not Sunday. Gevura, kabel rinat amcha sagbeinu tacharenu nora. Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. This sequence connects to the Hebrew words kras satan. It can also be rearranged, permutated into a different sequence that spells Sha'ar Katan. They sound similar, but they're very different meanings. Kras Satan means to tear up Satan. Sha'ar Katan means small gates, and it reminds us to guard our gates, which are our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth. These seven holes in our body is the entrance point for the negative system. And if we put guards on them, we can keep the negativity out of our life. This verse connects to Monday. And today is Monday. So we would go to the Tikkun HaNefesh chart and go Box number 1, 2, 3, etc., up to 17. Tiferet. Na gibor dorshe yehudcha kevavat shamrim. Nun gimel dalet yud kaf shin. The first three letters, Nun Gimel Dalet, has a gematria of 57. 57 is the word parnasah, sustenance. It's actually the Hebrew word zan, that means parnasah, that means sustenance. But what is sustenance? Sustenance is the fulfillment of every desire, any desire. Yud Kaf Shin is a healing sequence that allows you to take the part of your body that is not well, that is sick, not performing properly, take it out of your body, heal it, rejuvenate it, resuscitate it, and then put it back in your body, doing its job as it was meant to do, perfectly. This sequence connects to Tuesday. Barchem tacharim, rachame sitkatha, tamid gamlem. Betet resh, tzadi taf gimel. This sequence connects to Wednesday. And its meditative tool is the Sefirah of Netzach, eternal victory, eternity. The fifth verse, Chasin Kadosh, Berov Tucha, Nael Adata. This sequence connects to Thursday. It connects to the Sefirah of Hod and its essence of appreciation and thankfulness. It's a tool to draw closer to Hashem. The sixth verse, which connects to Friday. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokre kedushata yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf. The sequence connects to the Sefirah of Yesod, which is the Sefirah of creativity, creation, sexuality. It actually means a foundation. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziyakatenu yodea talumo. Shin Kufav, Tzadi Yud Tav. This sequence connects to manifestation. One way of understanding that manifestation is the first two letters have a gematria of 400, which is the four worlds times 10 sephirot within 10 sephirot. The next four letters have the same gematria as the first verse, 506. And again connects to unconditional love. We learn from this that the way to perfection, the way to completion, the way to perfect manifestation is by injecting unconditional love in every step in our journey. Every step in our process. This last verse connects to the manifestation and it connects to Friday. Excuse me. The Friday is the verse before it. The last verse, the seventh verse, connects to Shabbat, the day of rest, the day of manifestation, the day of perfection. And the eighth verse, we say in a whisper to ground all that excess energy. Baruch Shem. Good. I wish you all a wonderful day. I hope to speak to you later today in our other classes. Does anyone have any questions? Shalom Gadol. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you, Hanok. Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.